This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will get to Christine Lisi in a second, but can you explain to me and the audience, please, Stugatz, why during the break you were arguing with a Peloton commercial?
They have this, I think it was Nordic Track or Peloton, I'm not certain, but that doesn't happen where two people, first off, anytime you see anyone on these exercise bikes, they're in a big corner apartment in a high rise in New York City somewhere, which is annoying, which suggests you have to have money to afford these things or ride in these things, and I guess you do. But there is no scenario where a man and a woman are getting in two separate apartments, separate buildings, getting on their bikes at the exact same time, staring each other down, racing each other, and then going their separate ways and never, ever meeting. It does not happen, Dan. I don't know why it infuriates me, but it does.
Well, I think you've never been on a Peloton. Like, I think that's how Peloton works. And the fact that you don't know the difference between a Nordic Track and a Peloton suggests you're not quite, like, informed on how this works. Now, maybe the people aren't as beautiful as they were in this commercial, but
if I look that good, I never work out.
Well, but they look that good because they... Never mind. Christine, you were saying...
And finally, the average American driver will spend 4 months of their life simply waiting for red lights to turn green. Speaking of things I'm constantly waiting for to just end, here's Dan and Stu.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good.
I laughed, too.
Stan Van Gundy with us. He is great. You heard him during the playoffs, TBS TNT analyst. We enjoy his company, and his basketball analysis is better than most that we have around here, all that we have around here. What are you laughing about?
Just the thought. I just had a visual of Stan on a Peloton in a corner apartment in the city.
How does Stan... Stan, how do you feel about Peloton, Stan?
Yeah, I've never been on a Peloton. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I do love him racing Jeff and them being competitive. What did you see last night that you thought was interesting?
Well, I thought the Lakers' size overwhelmed Miami more than I thought. They had 8 block shots. I thought even before he got the injury in the third quarter, the size really gave Bam Adebayo a lot of problems. He was struggling to finish on shots that he normally makes, and they got 16. The Lakers had 16 second chance points on them on the boards. That to me was just sort of the overriding theme. Look, I think the 3-point shooting part of it will turn around. The Heat, for some reason, over the last 6 games have sort of fallen apart from 3-point range. You got to think that they'll come back to making some threes, and the Lakers are just not that good a 3-point shooting team and had a great night last night. But I don't think that the Lakers are going to get shorter.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you fix that?
Well, I think Miami, the score was what it was, but Miami did a great job of the best I've seen actually in the playoffs of breaking down the Laker defense, getting into the paint, and then either finishing or making plays out of that. They had 46 points in the paint, and their first 14 points in the game getting started were from drives into the paint, either being finished or dished to somebody else or kicked out for threes. So I thought that they did a good job there, and they're going to have to continue to do that. But they have to make 3-point shots. They were second in the league during the season, 38%. The first 10 games of the playoffs this year, they shot 39%. And over the last 6 games, they've shot 30%. And that's even including a good game 6 against Boston. So it's been a disaster for them from 3-point range, and that's a huge part of their game. And then the overriding thing is the injuries. I mean, going into last night, Dragic was the leading scorer on the team in the playoffs. And even early in the game, you could see he was having great success getting into the paint. He was getting wherever he wanted to go to either score or make plays. If he's out, which it's sounding like is a good possibility, then that's a major blow to the Heat. And both Butler and Adebayo are hobbled a little bit in various ways. They can't afford that. I picked the Heat to win, which was probably the death knell for them anyway. But if they're not healthy, then they don't have any chance. So look, the positive sign, though, with Dragic being out, Kendrick Nunn, who had a great regular season and was put on the shelf in the conference finals, got into a little bit of a rhythm last night. So obviously, if Dragic is out, he stands to get a lot of time, and he was able to gain a little confidence and get some rhythm last night. So that'll be helpful.
TNT analyst Stan Van Gundy with us here on ESPN Radio and NBA TV. Stan, have you seen a player like Anthony Davis? Is there a comparison?
Probably not directly. Again, the size, it just created so much of a problem for Miami. So they started the game double-teaming him and James when they were in the post. And because the lad, which I thought was a good decision. Now, I don't think they were very active in their double teams. I'm sure that's something that Eric Spoelstra's talking to them about today. They were like perfunctory double teams. They didn't really get pressure on anybody. But the Lakers did a great job playing out of it, and they were knocking down threes. So then they opened the second half trying to play straight up on both Davis and James, and Davis able to just face up and shoot over Bam easily. He's got so much size and length on him. And then LeBron James was just able to go in the mid post, face up Jimmy Butler and go right by him. He's just a bigger, stronger player. Jimmy's a tough guy and a good defender. He's just not as big as LeBron James. So, the size of both of those guys and then Davis's ability to shoot the ball. Question was, I know a player like him, not directly, but I think guys with size who can shoot the ball, Kevin Durant, who plays a little differently, but Anthony Davis, who can go inside and out. Those guys are really, really, really difficult to stop. It's make or miss for those guys.
When Derrick Jones Jr. and Duncan Robinson were on LeBron James, I thought they were both going to get stuck in his butt crack.
Well, listen, here's the hard part, I think, for the Heat, right? So Duncan Robinson, when you have to go, injuries force you to go down into your bench a little bit more. And Duncan Robinson, a great offensive player, really good shooter. He's improved defensively, but when he gets caught on switches, on pick and rolls, on LeBron, obviously, like, you can't have a much bigger mismatch than that. And then the Lakers are a great defensive team. So if you're going to play guys like Derrick Jones Jr., Solomon Hill, guys like that, how do you score? It's hard enough to score on the Lakers, but then if you're going to try to play 4-on-5 at the offensive end of the floor, it just gets very difficult. So the Heat need their starters, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn now, if he's going to get more minutes, probably a smaller dose of Andre Iguodala. They need all those guys to play well, because those guys can play some at both ends of the floor, but Robinson gets played off the floor a little bit himself. So it's not easy for them because those one-way guys are not going to get it done.
Stan Van Gundy has been very active and recently angry on Twitter. I want to get him to talk about some of his tweets. We'll do that. Do you have another segment in you, Stan? Can you join us for one more segment to talk about some of the things you've been doing on Twitter here?
I can.
All right. He's an NBA analyst, TNT and NBA TV. He's as good as it gets covering basketball. He will come back with us in a second. So, Stan, as you see everything happening in this country, and you have, you've been saying since 2016, you've been saying that President Trump is brazenly racist. And you have this tweet here. For me, the saddest thing about this whole Trump presidency has been finding out that people I knew, liked, and respected, including some guys I coached, support this racist, misogynistic, narcissistic person. Painfully disappointing revelations. Have you lost friends over this?
I don't know if I've lost friends. It's more I've ignored people. And by the way, was not talking about any NBA players. It's guys from long ago in college. And, you know, you read stuff on social media and you just, it's disappointing. It's not who I thought people were, you know. So it hasn't been, you know, as much direct as, you know, seeing what other people are writing and things. And yeah, it is disappointing. Look, here's the difference, right? To me is, and I probably haven't made this clear enough. Like, there's a difference between voting for someone and really supporting them. I mean, a vote is a choice between, you know, two people and a different set of policies, and you may have some policies. It might be the economics. For a lot of people, the Republican Party, they're voting because of abortion or whatever. So there may be reasons where, you know, people have to hold their nose and vote. But to support someone, you know, when I look at the approval ratings and his approvals in the 40%, like, that's different. I mean, I've certainly in my life voted for people that I didn't necessarily approve of, but I thought they were the better choice of two people. But to support the stuff that he says, that's where I have the problem.
Are you surprised, Stan? Because I've underestimated for many years the race problem in this country, and I don't think most people associate me with underestimating the race problem. Like, when you watch what's happening in America right now, how jarred are you by the division?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think what's happened, like, the, you know, the race problem never went away. But I think it at least got to a point, for good or for bad, some people would actually argue for bad, but that it went underground a little bit more. Like, it wasn't cool to be out saying racist things. That's where I think things have changed over the last 4 years. People now have been empowered and emboldened to just be brazenly racist, you know, not even try to hide it anymore. And I think it's made our world more explosive for sure. And it's totally divided now. I mean, I can't even come close to remembering a time where we were this divided as a country.
So you also wrote here, and I can't imagine how angry you were watching this or how much of it you watched it, but you said Chris Wallace is a joke as a moderator. This debate is a joke. Trump is a joke. Our country is rapidly becoming a joke. Embarrassing and disgusting. Like, what was happening with you there?
Well, no, I mean, I think, listen, I don't think, other than the Chris Wallace, which a lot of people, there was divided opinion on Chris Wallace, how much he could have done or should have done. You know, and I might have been too harsh on him. But the rest of it, I don't know that anybody's really going to disagree with what we were seeing on the screen. Now, maybe the implications for the country, but I just think of it this way. You know, if you're somebody from a foreign country and you're here and you're watching our debate and thinking this is our country, this is America, like, you're going to be looking at it going, are you kidding me? Don't you guys say all the time you're the greatest country on earth? This is what you do in your election? I mean, that is embarrassing. I think, obviously, I'm a little biased, but I think most people thought it was mainly Trump's fault. But Biden got involved in it, too. He got lowered to that level. It was a joke. That debate was beneath us. I say it was beneath us, but it's clearly not. It's who we are now.
Stan, have you ever considered a career in politics?
No. I'm getting more and more involved in politics, but my wife and I, what we're trying to do is find people a lot smarter than me and people we think can make a difference and then support them in every way we can. We need people a lot smarter than me if we're going to make a difference in what's going on.
Are you in play for any of these coaching jobs that are available?
Clippers.
Not that I know of.
Okay, you would know.
Everybody is. I don't know where everybody is with their search. So, but not that I know of. No. So.
Is there a chance you might get back at it? Is there a chance that you might, if the right offer comes around?
There's a chance. Yeah. I mean, listen. I mean, my brother's been out of it for 13 years and still thinks of it every year. You know, and hasn't taken that plunge yet. But it never goes away. I mean, you know, we were coaches from the beginning of our career, and I think that's how we'll always look at ourselves, is as coaches. And so I don't think the itch to coach will ever go away, but we also both have the maturity. Well, that might be a little too strong, but we're both a little older and have a different perspective that, you know, there are other things out there too. And, you know, as much as you want to coach, there's also, you know, quality of life and other things like that. So who knows?
I don't believe
Twitter and
you.
Peloton.
I don't believe him at all. Like, as soon as there are other things important in life, right until the Clippers call or something, and then all of a sudden that itch is going to get you.
Kawhi?
Because there's a good job, or the Sixers, that's a good job. Jeff has been getting that itch for how many years? I don't believe Jeff's going to be coaching next year. Yes or no?
I don't have any idea. You know, every year virtually somebody approaches him, and he really hasn't even gone after a job. He hasn't even gone to the point of really pursuing it. He's talked to some people over the years, but, you know, he's never really gotten invested in, like, trying to go get a job. So I don't know. Look, but it is really the whole life thing. Like, if you would ask me, do you want to coach? I would say 100% yes, if I didn't have to move. You know, but I'm not looking to take Steve Clifford's job, and the Magic would never take me back, and I'm living in Orlando. But the idea of disrupting your life, I've got, Dan, you know, like, you know, your dad's on your show every day. My parents are 5 miles away from here, both in their 80s. My wife's parents are closer than that. They're 2 or 3 miles away in late 70s, early 80s. Like, there's all of these things that go into a decision, so... Would I love to coach? Yeah, if you'll bring the team to me.
Yeah, very good.
And like,
yeah.
Well, like a Zoom coach?
Yeah, Ballmer. The Clippers, are you? He's in play if he can coach your team on Zoom.
Yes, if we can get an expansion franchise in Lake Mary.
Okay.
And get an arena building and everything, I'm all in.
All right, see you later. All right, Stan.
Good
talking to you. Stan Van Gundy, okay. Analyst for TNT and NBA TV. Always appreciate his time.
Today on ESPN Daily, Oscar Pistorius became the first double-leg amputee to compete in the Olympic Games. Then he was convicted of killing his girlfriend. What was it like to cover the life and trials of Oscar Pistorius on ESPN Daily? Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Going to be hard to top what I saw Amazon Prime do with the Oscar Pistorius story, a 4-part documentary.
You told me about that. I watched it. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting if you haven't seen that. Mike, where is the Borat sequel appearing?
On Amazon Prime, actually.
When?
Before the election. I think I saw a release date of October 27th. Don't quote me, but nice. It's coming out before the election.
People are excited about that. It has been a minute. He is quite the genius when it comes to not breaking character. He's been doing it across a couple of decades. A lot of people are going to look forward to that. Christine Lisi, I am sorry. Please continue.
And finally, a Romanian village has reelected a mayor who passed away from COVID prior to the election. I don't understand how that happened.
Well, say it again.
Yeah, just they reelected a dead guy. So, yeah. Thank you. I don't understand how that happens either. Name recognition. It's actually Stugatz is a voter. That's what how it happens because Stugatz loves anyone who's a name. Anybody who's a name. Thank you for being on with us. They read in the newspaper or they read on the internet
that the
person was dead and I've heard of him. I'm going to vote for him. Billy, not surprisingly, does not know how to feel about a best of three series. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate the time as always. Billy is up 1-0. He is about to challenge the Chicago Cubs.
He's got a house money game today.
A house money game. Yu Darvish is who he's going up against. How do you feel about the three-game series, or why are you conflicted about the three-game series?
Well, to be clear, Dan, I'm not up against any of these people. I'm an unbiased member of the media. The Marlins are doing all these things. I'm right down the middle when it comes to this series. I just kind of observe what's going on, and I'm happy for no one because that's not allowed because I'm an unbiased member of the media. But, man, this series, if I was someone that was not unbiased and I felt things, what a mess this is, huh? Because you go into the thing yesterday, the Marlins win, you're like, whoa, we are riding high right now. We're about to move on to the next series if we just win one more game. But if you lose two games, then you're out of the playoffs altogether. These three-game series, all bets are off. We've talked about this a lot. That seems to be the theme of the series so far. But it can go up and down, and you're feeling good about yesterday. But you lose today, you could be eliminated tomorrow. Again, not me, though. I'm unbiased right down the middle, but that's what people are feeling. That's what they're saying. Billy Gill, ESPN.
The mutated baseball season has made everything even more random than it would normally be. A best of three. I'm not kidding you when I say this, Stugatz. You could put a minor league team in these playoffs, and they could win a best of three.
I think that's the frustrating thing for teams like the Dodgers to play that good during the regular season. Granted, it was only 60 games, and have no advantage over any of the other teams in the playoffs. Zero.
I mean, the advantage is that you're better than they are, but the randomness of the playoffs makes. I think we can agree that best of three as a measurement tool is not something that any of us would advocate at any other time except during a pandemic.
I don't know if you've heard of this, Dan, but the NBA play or the NFL playoffs, best of one, and March Madness, best of one every round.
It isn't exactly best of one when you have to win.
If you win, you move on.
When you win,
you lose, you go home.
You have to win six games, though. You have to win over the course of six. I understand you're only playing one team, but those aren't great measurements either. March Madness is a lot of fun. It doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily have the best measurement on who your champion is.
The Pirates were 19-41. If they played in one of these best of threes, they could potentially win one. They went 2-3.
Anybody can win a three-game series, Billy.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Baseball, you don't just win three games and you win the World Series. You have to win 4-4 and 3-2. So you need to win, what's that, like 15 or something, no? 8, 9, 11?
Yes.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But the best of three harder than to win than the best of one.
What I am saying is that best of three doesn't do a great job of measuring the better winner, but what it can do is punish the better team by making it so random that their season is over in two games after they've played 60 better than anyone else.
The Pirates swept the Brewers during the regular season. Again, the Pirates had 19 wins. They swept the Brewers. The Brewers are a playoff team.
Yes. Well, the Brewers are a sub-500 playoff team. Like, there's so many playoff teams in baseball that what you're doing here, this is March Madness. That's what baseball is doing right now.
It's awesome.
Best of three is March Madness, Billy. So I'm just talking about it as a measurement. It's the reason you wanted the Marlins in the playoffs because you love how random this sport is. Football's also super random as it comes to this stuff. But what you get built into having a great season like the Dodgers is a first-round bye. The Patriots spent their entire life in the Super Bowl because they were always playing in the AFC East, always finishing in first place, and always getting a first-round bye. They never had to go on the road to play to test the randomness of a road playoff game. They did. I shouldn't say never. They did it occasionally, but not very often.
They beat the Chiefs a couple of years ago.
Not this year, Dan. These playoffs, as we discussed earlier, are about grit and who wants it more. No free passes in the MLB playoffs, Dan. No buys. You want to win? You got to win.
Okay. Are you doing, that's the kind of analysis people will be able to get if they watch a Twitch game with you. Are you guys deciding? You've decided you're going to do that at some point here? No official announcements, but people can watch a game on Twitch, a Marlins game on Twitch with Billy soon, hopefully.
Well, it sounds like the cat's out of the bag now, Dan. This is going to happen possibly game three, if necessary, or next round.
Wow.
I again ask you, I asked this question about 15 years ago. Why was the cat in the bag?
The Levitard Show full cast. We'll be watching NBA Finals Game 4, if necessary. Heat Lakers next week as well.
Did you guys know cats used to be currency?
Yes. The weekend starts today, and unfortunately it starts with the Broncos heading into MetLife Stadium to play the Jets. Adam Gase's job is on the line as the Jets have started 0-3 with a combined score of 94-37.
Don't watch that, people. Don't watch it.
The Broncos also 0-3.
Don't watch that.
I'm not. Haven't done much better, plus Drew Lock is listed as out, which leaves them with Brett Rypien, Mark's son. Starting under center instead of Jeff Driscoll. Isn't Elway some sort of quarterback guru?
Don't watch that, people. Do not watch that.
The Jets rank last in the NFL in total yards, scoring, yards passing, first downs, red zone efficiency. They are also second to last in total touchdowns, third down conversions, and yards per play. They stink. And despite all of that, Caesars William Hill has the Jets as a 1.5-point favorite tonight. I dare you. Weekend Starts Tonight is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Stugat's about to update the polls. Do you know why the cat was in the bag before the cat was let out of the bag at Lebatard Show? What else do you have there, Stugat, for the Twitter poll?
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
All right, I'm going to scroll back here, Dan, to the beginning of the week because we only have one poll today, so you got to give me a second.
Well, we haven't done any polls this week. We haven't updated any of the polls this week. The show is a little sluggish today. We're all a little beat up. Mike Ryan's energy has basically soiled everybody. Billy's still dancing.
I'm flying high as an unbiased member of the media.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, going back to Monday here. Who is more wrong? Dan saying Josh Allen was terrible or Colin Cowherd saying the Miami Heat can't shoot? 69% of the audience said Colin Cowherd. Nice. Does DK Metcalf make you feel like less of a man? It does. 76% of the audience said yes. Scrolling up here, big fat white face, big fat white face, big suey. Wow, boo, big fat white face. Is there worse sports analysis for predicting result than I have a feeling?
That was Greg Cody's analysis.
Yep.
I have it's just unbelievable. It's so bad. Like, you should turn off someone's microphone if what their analysis on a sporting event is, I have a feeling.
I love it. 70% of the audience said no. Does the Pope wear red shoes?
Not an important one.
It is. 60% of the audience said yes. Now, I've done some research on this. The Pope definitively, for the 40% that said no, he does wear red shoes or slippers. Maybe the nose were thinking slippers. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I can't speak for the nose.
Okay. Scrolling up here. Hold on a second. Do you always get an honest day's work out of Myles Garrett?
There was one very high-profile time they didn't.
That's right.
But 56% of the audience said yes.
Honest day's work.
All right, scrolling up here. Golden State Warriors parade. Me and Poppy in a car with Mike and Guillermo.
Fat white faces.
Fat white faces. Well, me and Poppy's. What is the better feeling? Returning from the restroom to your food being ready at a restaurant or waking up from a nap to the words, we're entering the witching hour.
A groggy Billy awoke to the witching hour last Sunday.
61% of the audience said restaurant. Who do you believe about Stugatz attending Diana Rossini's wedding? Your choices were Diana and Stugatz. I mean, of course I'm going to lose. I was there, though. 85% of the audience said Rossini.
No, I saw her go at Katie Nolan for not going to the wedding. Diana does seem to me like someone that would take inventory of who actually showed up. So I'm believing Diana here.
I have no doubt that she did take inventory. I know Katie Nolan wasn't there, but I know I was there. Again, I received a private message on Zoom from Woj. It was meant for everyone, but Woj just sent it to me. He doesn't know how to use it. Is Stugatz killing the Dolphins?
What? The resort. It was the resort Dolphins. You were frolicking with them. You said they were happy. You said they look happy because they have a smile on their face. And Ron McGill said you were killing them.
I mean, three squares. People pet their tummies. I mean, 91% of the audience said yes.
Three square meals.
Guys who refer to championships as chips.
Oh, God.
Douche or no douche.
Yeah.
Mike did that earlier this week. I love him for it. 85% of the audience said douche. Those are the polls, Dan.
That was not Mike.
I don't remember doing that. Somebody did that.
But it sounds like something Mike would do.
It does. I have said that.
We are going to do a post-game show now. Wherever it is that you download this stuff, get the post-game show. It's been consistently funny. And support Le Batard and Friends. Join us over there.